Good to have you here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Travelers who fell among thieves. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves and they stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. It was stated by some that he asked for it. It is not possible to walk from Jerusalem to Jericho without turning one's back on the sanctuary of God. Jericho, if you remember, was the city of the curse and had been so since the days of Joshua. Any man walking in that direction could well expect to fall among thieves. Now, Jesus was talking to a lawyer. And the lawyer came and asked him about eternal life. And Jesus told him basically to keep the commandments, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he asked the question, Lord, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told him this parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And you can't take everything literally, but just for a moment, I want us to take it for what it says. If we made everything stand for something, then the victim would be the lost sinner who is half dead. That is half dead. He is physically alive, but spiritually he is dead. He is helpless, laying there in the ditch beside the road, and without somebody to care for him, he is going to die. And then the Bible said that there were the priest and the Levite that came by, and they represent the law and the sacrifice, neither of which is able to save him in his dilemma. The Samaritan is Jesus Christ who saves the man. He pays the bills and he promises that he'll come back again. The inn stands for the local church where the believer is cared for. The 2 pence are the ordinances of baptism and communion. But if you take this approach, then you can make the Bible really say basically what you want it to say. So we take the Bible for what the Lord is trying to tell us. We don't add to it, we don't take away, we just take it as it is. Amen. And the Bible says about this man that he got on that road that led from Jerusalem down, and physically it was higher in Jerusalem than it was in Jericho, so the road was a downward road, but it was downward spiritually as well as physically. But I do want to say to you this morning that he's not the only traveler that travels down the Jericho road. The Bible tells us about the Ephesian elder who lost his first love in Revelation chapter 2. Now, the purpose of the travelers are there are two types of travelers, I might say. Some set out with a fixed purpose of reaching a desired destination. Others stand aimlessly
and they really have no desire, no purpose in their life. And I'm sure that this man that we're talking about here, even though he was in church, was in this crowd. The Ephesian elder. He was satisfied with all the abundance of church services that he attended. Now, he was an elder. He was a leader in the church. He had a position of superiority. But we see him kind of sauntering along on this road. He was spiritually asleep. The evil one came and stole his greatest jewel, his first love. Now you think, how in the world can this happen to somebody that's been in the church and they attend all the services of the church? A leader in the church, an elder, a man of stature. But a person can just go through the motions. And that's really what he's trying to tell us here, is there are a lot of folks that are just going through the motions this morning. They come to church out of habit. And I hope none of you did that this morning, that you come because, well, I'm supposed to go to church. I hope you came this morning because you had a love in your heart that compelled you to get up and put on your clothes, get in the car and come to church and have a smile on your heart and on your face. Amen. The Lord said of this man and the church that he represented, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. Now, they were just simply going through the motions. Now, I want to say about this church, the Bible says that the Lord commended them for their works and for their labor and for the direction that the church was going in. They stood against evil. They were against the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were individuals that believed that the church ought to be pure and holy and close to God. Church ought to be that way. Brethren, we don't have two sets of rules. We've got one set of rules. It's the Word of God. Amen. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And if there was anything that really characterized this church, it was they were busy. You know, and I kind of sometimes relate to where we are today. My, we're a busy church. We are a busy, busy church. We've always got something going, and it's hard for me to be able to stay up with it sometimes. We're busy. But I want to tell you, if you're not careful, you can lose the real purpose of why you're coming to church and why you're doing what you do. You see, the Bible said we love God with all of our heart. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Brethren, you ought to love God with all your heart. You know, when you first got married, you remember that, you know, you wanted to sit next to that loved one in the car and you just couldn't hardly wait to get home, knowing you're going to have a big meal on... You know, but that first love, it's special, isn't it? Amen. But after a while, it's kind of like this man said, honey, you know, when we first got married, you liked to sit next to me. We looked like one body with two heads driving down the road. And the woman said, well, honey, what's happened? Then she said, or he said, honey, I haven't moved. So it must be the wife problem. But you know, you can kind of get into a routine even in your home life, can't you? You can take one another for granted. You love them, but you don't really show that love like you ought to. You know, I kind of like to do things for Virginia. You know, I cook a meal sometime. I don't clean up, but I cook a meal sometime. And I like to take her places. I take out the garbage. And I bring in the cash, you know. That's kind of like one of my pastor friends says, my job is to take out the trash and bring in the cash. But you know, you love them. You can't hardly wait to get home. And they love you. And that's that first love, and it ought never to get to the place. I know it matures, but it ought never to get to the place that you're not satisfied or you're just going through the motions. We'd love God with all of our heart. Amen. And our neighbor as ourselves. If love warms the heart and cheers the church, then the church at Ephesus had no heating apparatus, and they needed to call in the spiritual heat and air man. Then there's the psalmist who lost the joy of his salvation. King David was one of those unfortunate men whose eyes were permitted to rest too long on forbidden pleasures. His lustful vision kindled an unholy fire within the depths of his soul. And he sacrificed his purity, his peace of mind because of his vision. The sordid story of adultery and murder reveals David walking away from the sanctuary or the church. He had forgotten all the former vows that he had made to God. He had forgot his commitments that he had made to the Lord. He sent his army out to fight against the Philistines. But he stayed home. David, in his ease at home, and the Bible said that there are a lot of folks that are at ease in Zion. So he was at ease in Zion, and he looked out from his porch and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. He lusted after her. You know the story how that he committed adultery? He tried to cover it up by several schemes. One, bringing Uriah the Hittite, her husband, back from the war. And the Bible tells us that he considered a plan that he would send him to the house and he would be with his wife and everything would be fine. But Uriah didn't go. He wanted to be honorable to his men. And so David had him sent back to the battle, had him sent back to the heat of the battle. And when the battle was raging, he said, fall back, and leave him out there exposed to die. Word came that he had died, that he was killed. David thought everything was fine. But you know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and God knew what David had done. He knew what was in his heart. And the Bible said that God sent his man, Nathan, the prophet. He sent him to David, and he told him a parable about the man that had the one ewe lamb. And the rich man had many ewe lambs, but he took that poor man's one lamb and slew it to feed his guest. The Bible tells us David got enraged. He said, that man will die for doing what he has done. And Nathan pointed that bony finger at him and he said, David, thou art the man. And it broke David's heart. Brokenhearted, he bowed in despair and he discovered that the Jericho thieves had taken his fairest treasure. But Psalms 51 reveals his prayer. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then there's another familiar walker or traveler down that Jericho road, and it's the prodigal who lost his father's fellowship. I can see him as he had left home. He was whistling as he was walking down the road to the far country. His old-fashioned and rigid father had been left behind. He no longer had to be under the strict rules and guidelines of the home. As far as he was concerned, he had left it forever. I'll never go back. But you know, the Bible says you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, and you reap what you sow. Ahead of him, he thought, lay another country and a great, great time. His thoughts, I'm sure, caused him to lengthen his steps, his stride, so that he could get there quicker. He thought, the far country holds all that will satisfy my heart and my life. The road was hazy that day. Visibility was bad in the Jericho area. Smog had entered into the heart and the mind of this young man, and he was unable to recognize his own foolishness, his own stupidity. He could not see down the road to the tragic end of this new lifestyle. He just thought everything was going to be fine. But you know, that's what the devil tries to make you think. Everything's going to be fine. You don't have to worry. Everything will be fine. All the wealth, all the good things of life are going to be yours. Well, he was short-sighted. He could not discern the hypocrisy of the thieves who posed as friends. And they were friends as long as he had money. But then when he was penniless, they brought him to the pigsty, slopping hogs with the pigs. He saw himself as he was. He had lost his treasure, but most of all, he had lost his fellowship with the Father. And there he is in that hog pen. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around hogs. But hogs stink. They're smelly, smelly. You know, I like bacon, but I don't like to think about the hogs, where they came from. But the Bible tells us that he came to himself and he said, my father's hired servants got bread and more to spare. And now I'm here sloughing with the hogs. He thought, I've got it a whole lot better back home. He didn't realize that when he was home. But sometimes you got to get away from home to realize how good home is. You know, it's nice coming into three home-cooked meals. Some women cook them. You know, it is nice to come home and have your laundry done, you know. Your ironing done. It's nice to come home to a clean house, have clean sheets. Amen. Well, he had lost fellowship with the Father, and he wanted that fellowship back. And I'm going to tell you, he started walking back home. He started retracing his steps. And he decided, I'm going back to the Father, and I'm going to tell him, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against you and against God, and I want your forgiveness. I'll just be a hard servant. I don't deserve to be a son anymore. None of us do, you know? We don't deserve to be a son. We deserve to be hired servants, and we are to be blessed to be that. But God wants to do like the Father did when he saw his son coming. He ran out to meet him, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back. He said, kill the fatted calf for this my son that was lost is found. He's come back home. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to tell you, sin will cause you to smell. It'll put a stench on your life. I don't know how the Father did it, but he hugged him, you know. He stunk. That's what sin will do to you. It'll take you farther than you ever intended to go and make you pay more than you ever thought you could pay. He stunk because of sin. But the Father said, we're going to clean him up. That's what God does. When we come back to God, he cleans us up, gets rid of the stench of sin, removes the penalty of sin, and welcomes us back into the fold. That's the kind of God we serve. He is a loving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bow with me.